deeply rooted in the Syracuse, New York community. A piece of the fabric of this town where people's hard work mirrors the effort of their teams they love to cheer on. If it's pregame, it's Dan Totora coming to you live from Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse. Right now.
Welcome here to Orange Crate Brewing Company here on 721 South Krause Ave. Wake up call with Dan Tortora is here pre-gaming 3 hours before every single Syracuse football game. We will also be here for Syracuse men's basketball, but their schedule is a little bit different, a little bit more prime time, a little bit later than after your morning cartoons end for your kids. So happy to have that. Happy to have that coming up. Syracuse men's basketball, Syracuse football. My co-host here, Rob Drummond, played in the NFL, CFL, also played for the Syracuse Orange, number 3 on the all-time list in yards per carry in a career. Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, and Mr. Rob Drummond sitting next to me, and of course myself, Dan Tortora, here live at Orange Crate Brewing Company. If you're listening to the live feed right now, you have to make your way down here, and if you want to win 2 tickets to today's game, we're giving them away, Syracuse against Pittsburgh. If you're not here, you are not eligible to win. So now we're talking about Syracuse and Pitt. Rob, before we go there, first and foremost, your son just finished up his season over at Bishop Grimes. Raphael, just what you could say about, you know, how that went, how he's doing, and how he handled finally getting back on the field.
Yeah, it was frustrating for me. It was frustrating here, and sometimes coaches, more than often, I have a lot of play and a lot to say about how the game goes. You know, we're just outmatching the game we play, and I understand how the coaches say. As anything, it's a life lesson. It's something that's going to help him going forward. You know, I'm very proud of him. You know, he's doing things that he set out to do, and he set goals in life. You know, and that's the only thing I ever asked for my kids. That's the only thing I would ever ask for anyone else. You know, so I'm just very, very proud of that.
To be a proud dad, and knowing that Raphael wants to play football moving forward, what's the situation right now? I mean, I know some schools he's had an opportunity to go out, visit some camps. In his whole time in high school, he's been down to Alabama, see Nick Saban. He's been to different parts in the Northeast. He's gotten to see some schools this year, had some opportunities to go out and see some teams that could be interested. Prep school also an option. Where does Raphael stand right now? Because it's a story that's not being told. You were a phenomenal football player, even a better person. Your son is following suit with being a good kid, good person in the community, and fighting hard on the field and playing it as a defensive back. So where does he kind of stand right now?
You know, the one thing being a father that I look at myself, I say, you know, playing Syracuse, playing the NFL, playing Canadian football, it's been 15 years of my life playing professional football. One thing I never expected or never wanted to do was my son to follow my footsteps. One thing I always said to myself is that, you know what, you're Raphael, I'm Robert, you're two entirely different people. You have your path that you want to set, you have my path that I want to set. The one thing I'm always going to do with my son is be the father of it. It's important to whatever it is he wants to do. He wants to pursue football. You know, the simple fact that he's being recruited by these schools, you know, a lot of athletes, he's a smart kid. He didn't get that money, he got from his mother. But the simple fact that we visited Ithaca last week and he wants to go to the broadcast service, and what a great school it was. We had a great time on campus. The game was a little cold. Maybe since we were sitting outside for a football game, it was a little different than this, but he didn't carry it down. But you know what, though, I'll parse anything he wants to do. You know, he transferred from the Edmund family, so the Christian Brown's last year, the transfer rules here, and in Central New York, which I think are ridiculous, he had to sit out the year, so it's a year he lost. I feel that in the year of prep school, he possibly more here to showcase the type of athlete that he is, because he's a very, very athletic, you know, young man, you know, but he really hasn't had a chance to show up because he's only had 1 year of organized high school sports, varsity sports. But you know what, that'll be his decision, you know what I mean? That's his grandson. Me and his father feel that the year of prep school would be great for him to be able to walk there and just mature a lot more and actually get a lot more from him, so these college coaches. But as we said before, you know, we'll force ourselves to win, and that's just something that we as parents feel that it has to come to a decision in his life, because he's the one who's going to have to spend a year there, not us.
And when you look back on your career before we get started here, Syracuse versus Pitt, homecoming live pregame show, Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave, down the road from the Carrier Dome. You're listening to us on wakeupcalldt.com. The live feed plays immediately when you go to the homepage, or you're going straight to mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. If you're listening, you're in Central New York, you want to win two tickets to Syracuse Pitt, you have to make your way over to Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Cross Ave. Have to be on site to register. Two free tickets given to me yesterday. I want to give them to a fan to head out to the Carrier Dome and warm up a little bit this cold day. It's finally becoming fall here in Syracuse. But before we get to Syracuse Pitt, before we pregame it and talk about everything that's going on, potentially going to happen in this game, I want to go back to your career, Rob, for a second, because I think it's important for NFL fans, football fans, college fans in general, to hear your story. 9 concussions that you know of, 2-1 game, where very few people are going to make it out of that, and on top of that, 15 years professionally as a running back, where most running backs, 3 years, 4 years, the Emmitt Smith, the Barry Sanders days, those days aren't happening anymore. Maurice Jones-Drew made it close, I think, right around 10 or whatnot, but wasn't the dominant back the whole time. What made you so durable that you were able to go 15 years? And what would you attribute that to? Because that's completely unheard of unless you're, at this point, a punter or a kicker in the NFL. You don't hear 15 years professionally across the country and across the world.
The funny thing is, you know, just the way I trained in the offseason, you know, you prepare your body, you prepare yourself, you prepare your mind, you know, there's anything you can accomplish. The simple fact that I said this to someone yesterday, it was funny. Football gave me the thing to be able to unleash all the anger I ever had against anybody that puts anything. So when I walked into a football field, we had a different jersey up there. I was about to destroy you for legally, but you know, for the next 30 minutes, you know, excuse me, for the next 3 hours. And that's the truth. You know, it's just the kind of sports where people are here to get like road rage. You mean, I think you can run into someone like road rage. If somebody makes you mad in the football field, you can go out there and legally, you know, I can't say it on the air, but you can knock them out. You know, so it's just something that, you know, I train my mind for, I train my body for, and I'm out there and pursuing the game that I love. It's so funny. I sit here and I was telling my son the other day, I would get back home from in high school or even grade school, and I would do my homework, and I would go outside and play football for about 3 to 4 hours, and that was every single day. And I played it like that because I love the sport. You know, most people take this sport, and you don't see the behind the scenes of any type of football player. What you see is basically on game day, a game like today, reading in the NFL. All you see is Sunday. The fans sit down, we sit here, we watch television, we see what these guys do for 3 hours on television. Did they have our beer? Did they have our wings? Did they have our pizza? You know, but what you're going to see is what leads up to these guys becoming the athletes that they are. You know, the meetings, you know, the practice, the workouts, you know, the treatment, the bad bruises, the injuries, the walking home with ice packs and sitting in ice packs all the time. Those are things that actually happen to football players, and that's something, you know, crazy or not, that I love to do. It seems a little sadist, but it's like, I didn't like pain, because when the pain bribed you, because it didn't break you. You always want to test yourself. You always want to see how much pain you can actually deal with and still get some going throughout a normal day. So this is something I love. This is something I prepare myself for, something I prepare my mind for, something I prepare my body for, and something I love to do.
And now that you have an opportunity to see it from the other perspective, where you're the fan, you're watching, to know this Syracuse team, they started out 3-0, totally, I mean, a very, very good season to start, but you have 4 games at home, great for the fans, they get to see them every week, but the issue being that from here on out, you play 1 game at home, then you're back on the road for a couple, then you come back for one, then you're back on the road, and you come back again, so the rest of the season going to be more so back and forth than it is what it was, but Rhode Island, you win like you're supposed to. Go up against Wake Forest, you beat a team that's steadily improving and trying to get better. Central Michigan, you defeat them, and that's a good out-of-conference game. But LSU is the game that a lot of people are paying attention to, circled, and everyone that I've talked to, coaches around the country, and each week I have an opportunity to talk to just under 30 coaches from the American Athletic Conference to the ACC, and coaches that played against Syracuse, coaches that saw the game against Syracuse, Jimbo Fisher brought it up from Florida State. This Syracuse team against LSU caught the eyes of a lot of coaches around the country and said, if they can hang with them, then we have to respect them. Even if we don't play them, we have to respect this team. So I heard that from a lot of different coaches from at least 2 different conferences, and that was big. But then you go up against South Florida. Quentin Flowers hasn't had a breakout game this season, had against Syracuse. Virginia could have shut the door numerous times, went into 3 overtimes, and eventually you're going to make a mistake at some point, and the field goal doesn't go through. game's over. So what does a team look like to you right now? Because some people hit the panic button as soon as Syracuse loses one game. But after LSU, everybody was excited. Even in the loss, it seems like Syracuse gained more fans, got more people in the community, excited about it. They go on the road. They think that we're going to win both those games, come back, and go from there. That didn't happen. So what's the feeling like right now for those that are hitting the panic button once you hit the panic button?
Personally, I would have been panic button for the simple fact that you look at the first three games. You know, let's be honest with each other. You know, they're supposed to win those games. They're supposed to win those games easily. Those teams really were no match for Syracuse, you know, athletic-wise or coach-wise. You know, and then you have LSU coming to the dome. You know, everyone expected Syracuse. You know, and I heard it myself throughout the town, throughout the country. The spread, I think, was like 28, 29 points. And people were shocked that Syracuse was not able to play as well as they did. You know, they impressed me. You know, but that just lets you know how good this team and the potential of this team, what they could possibly be. In saying that, their series is a very, 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 very young team. You know, it's, for those young guys who go up against them, you know, all American Kennedy and Fournette, you know, and the rest of that, LSU Tiger, you know, it was a great testament to what Syracuse can do. And saying that also, you know, you can't rest on your laurels. They had a week off, and basically they thought they, I won't say the players thought they were world leaders, but the community thought they were world leaders for the simple fact that they had an LSU team ranked, you know, in the top 10 of the country, you know, and they basically got them on the ropes the entire game. Syracuse has to come out there in each and every game, you know, and step up and perform at a higher level. You can't rest on the laurels on the simple fact that you were able to go out there against a nationally ranked team and play as well as you did. No one cares about that. You know, and so when you play against South Florida, South Florida came in to beat Syracuse. They didn't care how well they played against LSU, they could care less. You know, so I think Syracuse got a little deer in their eye, you know, kept out of vision, but now they've got a little national promise back because of how well they played against LSU, and no one cared. So now they're in a position, they're at a pivotal point this year right now where every game's going to count now. That's what the year we went out and we went 11-0. And Coach Matt would always tell us, it's like, you know, no matter what you did the past game, guys, it's one game down, one game to go. Take it one game. Take it one game at a time. Right now, Syracuse has to focus on, you know, a 5-1 Pittsburgh team coming in the zone. Not coming in the zone being impressive in all the Syracuse playing well against other school because they could care less about that. I'm telling you right now, Pittsburgh is coming to the Carrier Dome to actually win this football game, play physical, and beat Syracuse. They want to be the dominant team in the East. When you look at the Penn States, the Boston Colleges, you know, the Syracuse, you know, the teams that are vying for the dominance of the Northeastern Quadrant. And that's what we play for pride, and that's what I play, you know, that's what Syracuse is going back to. Believing in themselves and being able to walk here and beat a good Pittsburgh team that's coming to the Carrier Dome.
And when we look at this Pittsburgh team, Syracuse most recently lost to Virginia. Pittsburgh played them before that game and had Virginia at home, won the game 26-19. Nathan Peterman has never been a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Panthers until this season. Chad Wojtek, healthy, okay, but Pat Narduzzi thought, you know what, he's not the right guy to run our system right now. Puts in Peterman. And Peterman against Virginia, and I think it's important to parallel this here. Syracuse gave up 44 points looking at the three overtimes. Pittsburgh was allowed to take it away in regulation, only allowed 19 points in the game, 17-24, 222 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Peterman has not thrown an interception in the last three games, and he's only gotten better from one touchdown at Virginia Tech, two against Virginia, and then on the road at Georgia Tech, you have to outscore a high-powered offense. You had three touchdowns, no interceptions. What can you say about the Pitt quarterback, who seems to be playing his best football coming into the dome tonight?
That's funny, man. You know, honestly, as stats mean absolutely nothing. As long as you walk in and dictate the game and let it go at your pace, as a player, it's like, you know, you could have a 2,000-yard rusher. If you walk in and you shut him down, you pressure him. Now that 2,000-yard rusher becomes pedestrian. You know, so, I mean, I look at stats as something funny. There's something for, you know, for the players to go over, there's, you know, something for the fans to look at this and say, wow factor. But from the simple fact, you step into a football field, Syracuse can dictate, you know, the intensity, you know, the flow, you know, everything about this team, that you're going up there and just pressuring this quarterback and keeping it. They go out there and take the game out of his hand. They go out there and take the game out of his hand. They can win this game easily. They don't consider to be a struggle the entire game.
Now, Peterman, and I think to the benefit of Syracuse, Peterman is not a running quarterback. Now, his numbers-wise, 15 carries for 4 yards, 6 carries for 5 yards. He had a good game against Georgia Tech, 5 for 31 to 6 yards a carry, but most of the time he's not running the ball, and if he's running the ball, he's not running the ball well. So how much of a benefit is that to Syracuse? Because we see them struggle with dual threat quarterbacks, so taking away the stats of it all and just talk about the basics of it, Peterman is a one-dimensional pocket passer for the most part. Is that the better option for Syracuse?
First off, why are you guys listening? You don't have to listen. It's okay to talk about it. Don't let quarterbacks move up the road. Really, about the students, give the students a lot of problems. I was saying to someone yesterday, you know, the front seven really have to show up today. They really have to get aggressive and start making plays happen. You know, what Boston did today, you know, it just seemed that they didn't blitz a linebacker. Maybe, you know, Fuller didn't blitz as much as I thought he would. You know, they allowed the quarterback to sit back there and just pick Syracuse apart. You know, that's not our style of defense. That's not our style. That's not our attitude. You know, attack these guys, force them into turnovers, force them into mistakes, and force them in. It's like a poker game. You know, let them show your poker face right away. You know, go out there and be able to show them that we're going to blitz. So what are you going to do? You got to make quick decisions. And when you make quick decisions, you're not experienced quarterbacks, make mistakes. You know, so has to force them to really allow, you know, allow the defense to fly around the head point and just knock people around and allow them to make mistakes. That's not a little win about being aggressive defense, a fly around defense. The defense that they had was first four defenses, it's the defense that went back.
Now, I mean, it's funny that you say that. You like to fly around defense, splits a lot under defensive coordinator Chuck Gullah for Syracuse. They've been critiqued for that. They've been critiqued for going after the quarterback too much, blitzing too much, sending too many people so that they're leaving space. And what the argument was from fans talking to me within this past week is that Syracuse blitzing so much sends their guys up front, leaves them, well, they were talking about a cover three blitz. So you got your three guys back, you got the guys up front, so you're leaving the middle of the field open. And they did bring up a good point in the fact that the pass over the middle to the tight end more often than not, but at this point this season, really any receiver. Syracuse seems to be very weak in the middle of the field in that big gap. And when you're playing cover three and you're sending guys forward, you're going to leave the middle of the field open. So you like the attack mode, but what can you say to the fact that when we go attack mode, when Syracuse does go out there, that middle of the field space is usually the third down space that opposing quarterbacks utilize against the Orange more often than not. We've already seen it in the Dome this year.
You know what? I'll take 2 seconds over 4 seconds and 5 seconds any single day. Any fan out there who doesn't know what that means doesn't understand the game of football. By 2 seconds, I mean, if you're blitzing, you're 1,001, 1,002. You better get rid of the ball and you can hit it. Suppose if you don't blitz, you have 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005. That's how long the quarterback has to survey the field and, you know, see what his options are open. So if you go man press, you sit a linebacker up on top of a tight end or a cornerback on top of a receiver or a safety on top of a running back, and you know already as a defensive player that the ball's going to have to be released within 2 seconds or the quarterback's going to be set, you can sit there and put yourself in a position to be successful. That's the one thing about football. Look at that old Bunny Murray style defense, the 45 defense, you know, back in 1985, you know, the Super Bowl. Pressure. What does pressure do? Pressure does one of two things, that either creates, you know, or either crushes. You know, if you're going to go out there and make a lot of plays, you know, you're going to go out there and create a lot more plays than this child of defense, allowing you to be able to get interceptions, allowing you to be able to create a head up in the secondary. So I disagree with the simple fact of this. You know, we're not blitzing all the time because you're a good quarterback, even not a good quarterback, an average quarterback. The average quarterback can sit right there and have him, like I said, 4 to 5 seconds, be allowed to pick you apart.
And when we talk about quarterbacks picking you apart, we look at Syracuse's secondary here on the live broadcast, where you can call the Dan Tortora, talking to Syracuse versus Pitt homecoming pregame at Orange Creek Brewing Company, 721 South Cross Ave. For those of you that are listening in, sitting at home on your couch, Dunkin' Donuts, a lot of free swag going on, Mike's Hard Lemonade, a lot of good stuff going on from a great crew here that came out to support, and 2 tickets to the game today. And my hands for Syracuse Pitt. So if you want to go to the game, you didn't buy your tickets, we have 2 tickets. You have to register. You have to be here in order to win. So if you're listening in on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt, make your way to 721 South Cross Ave, Orange Creek Brewing Company. Continuing on with Syracuse Pitt, Nathan Peterman has an opportunity to go up against Syracuse's secondary. Corners have been an issue throughout the entire 21st century. Julian Wickham made a lot of mistakes as the most veteran of them all, very, very young secondary, but this is the guy who is the oldest. He's the one that you have to look to. He's made a lot of mistakes this season. Outside of him in corner, you have Corey Winfield on the other side. He scored the first touchdown for any three phases in 2015 for Syracuse. But when you look at our secondary, when you look at what Winfield does and what Wiggum does, as well as Antoine Corian and Chauncey Sism with Rodney Williams out at free safety, what can you say about the secondary? Because you're talking about you blitz, you give them two opportunities, you know, one Mississippi, two Mississippi hit, as opposed to five Mississippi. What can you say about the secondary of Syracuse and how they're holding? Because they seem to continue that downward spiral of the 21st century where, whether it's 2 seconds or 5 seconds, when a quarterback releases the ball, Syracuse's secondary is letting somebody get open.
You know, it's trial by heart. You know, and with the exception of Wiggum, you know, they're very, very young. You know, nothing from the secondary is going to learn, you know, learn by making mistakes. You know, and that's the one thing I always say in any phase of football. Even when I play, you know, my best learning advice I can give anybody is simply make a mistake the first time. You won't make a mistake the first time, you won't make the second time. If you keep making mistakes, you get somebody else in here that won't keep making those mistakes, you know? But this young secondary is going to be pretty good. You know, like, and I look at the future. I know, granted, we're in the present right now, but I look at the future, and I, you know, look up and down across the board of Syracuse. We have a lot of young guys playing, which means, you know, in 2 years, we're going to be a very, very powerful, very, very dominant team. But, you know, we live in it right now, unfortunately. And when these young men start to work in these plays, you know, just mentally, it's just what I told you. If you go in your mind and say to yourself, it's like, you know, it's going to be 1,001, 1,002, at the most, 1,003, the ball's going to be in the air. So, Robert Davis is back. I know I got 2 seconds to press these guys, much like him. After 2 to 3 seconds, I can turn around and expect the ball in the air. So, I have to beat my man. I mean, football is a game where basically, you know, it's 11 on 11. 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense going against each other. But each individual, you know, say it's the quarterback, say it's the running back, say it's the offensive tackle, you know, say it's the offensive guard, a wide receiver. Each individual has their own, you know, their job for that play they're supposed to do. They have to win their play each and every single play. So if I go out there and I win my play, the next guy doesn't win his play, it's on the film. They always say the eye and scout on line because every game is film. So we sit down and grade the film afterward. But as long as every guy goes out there and has the mindset of winning his play each and every single game or each and every single opportunity that they're given, they'll be fine. Right now, the guys are winning their play. It's like, you know, give me a 10 guys doing a great job on one play. Then one guy messes up. But that one mess can be huge. It could result in like a 5-yard run or an 80-yard run, or a 5-yard pass or an 80-yard pass. So if you get to go out there and each and every individual guy, stop saying I'll be the hero. Just go out there and be a part of a cog that can basically motivate, you know, and get your team in a position to be able to win games.
And when you look at that one mistake, the last time Syracuse was home against LSU, ball went up in the air, Syracuse pressured the quarterback, didn't give him a ton of time. When they were just about to get to him, he releases it. Man-to-man down the field, Julian Wiggum looks back, sees the ball coming, doesn't move his hands, doesn't jump, doesn't put his hand out to block pass, and the ball goes right past him into the hands of LSU and into the end zone. It seemed like one of those plays where all he had to do was see the ball coming, put his hand out, and he was going to be able to tip it. What can you say in situations like that? Like you said, it's there's 11 on 11, but it's 1-on-1 all the way through. 10 guys did what they needed to do. It was on Julian at the end. But it seems like the wherewithal of that is just something a corner has to know. The ball's up in the air. You got to be facing the ball so you don't get called for pass interference. But a simple thing like that, what can you say in those plays? Because that's a play that sticks out to me. And if that touchdown went away, the game is a 3-point win for LSU as opposed to a 10-point win. And now we're talking about an even stronger Syracuse team. So just what your thoughts are on a play like that, because it seems like every year Syracuse, all they have to do as a corner is just put a hand out or jump a little bit higher. And in that split-second decision-making, they don't make that decision.
You know, it's funny because it's a simple fact of you being a football player, the individual, you know yourself, here at Syracuse, I'll use Syracuse as an example. We know if we wake up in the 16th, we don't go outside our car. Well, when we get out of our car, it's going to be cold, correct?
Yeah.
You know, as a quarterback, you know, I sit here and know, it's like, okay, if I'm a quarterback and I know my defense is pushing the ball, I'm really getting pressure. I say to myself, okay, 1,000, 1,000, I'm going to turn around and the ball's going to be there, correct? It's like Brayden has to put himself in a position, you know, as a senior leader out there, you know, or the veteran, I should say, out there, to be able to also understand and know that, you know, the ball's going to be in the air. It's going to be coming. It's either going to be a sack or it's going to be the ball's going to be coming in the air. So I have to know to turn around and make plays. It's all about making plays and getting into the detail. You know the ability. So as a cornerback or safety, even a linebacker, you know the ball's going to be released very, very fast. So it's going to be in the air. So you have to make a play on the ball, you know, and that's just something, you know, at this point in his career, a play he should have made, and a play he really hasn't made a lot in his career here at Syracuse. But you know what? You live another day, you live the fight you want, and they have Pittsburgh today, he said, I put that on him. You know, and basically go out there and get this win because you are consistent. They're three, great start, 3-0, but they're 3-3 right now. You know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Those words coming from Syracuse alum Robert Drummond. Here with me, Dan Tortorella, Wake Up Call of Dance Tour, live from Orange Creek Brewing Company, 721 South Cross Ave. We have 2 tickets that are going to go to you if you come in, register, we're going to pull a name. We have 2 tickets to the game today, so you have an opportunity to win. And also have a lot of great things going on for Mike's Hard Lemonade, Dunkin' Donuts, Syracuse-style donuts here for homecoming. Make sure you come out. A lot of good things going on here at Orange Creek Brewing Company, 721 South Cross Ave. And for Rob and myself, we're going to take a quick step aside here on the live pregame show for Syracuse and Pitt. When we come back, we'll be talking about Syracuse's offense and where they stand right now, as well as with Rob being a former running back, what he thinks of Jordan Fredericks getting the starting nod this week.
Hey, this is Dan Tortora of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, here to tell you that the Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue, down the road from the Carrier Dome, is your home for all pregame, postgame, and during the game excitement in Central New York. Make sure you come out for my live Syracuse pregame shows before Syracuse football and Syracuse men's basketball home and away games. We'll have a live pregame show for you there with me, Dan Tortora, and special guests throughout the season. Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, your local Central New York hotspot for all of your bar needs, as well as great food, great atmosphere, and a great time with the Central New York community. Right down the road from the Carrier Dome, be a part of game day at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live pregame Syracuse Pitt at Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave, here down the road from the Carrier Dome. My co-host every single Syracuse pregame show, 3 hours before every Syracuse football game. I'm here with Rob Drummond. So when we say 3 hours before, I think our mentality was a 12 or 1 o'clock show. But Syracuse, I don't think it's ever happened in the history that I've been alive that Syracuse has played more than 1 to 2 noon games a season, and they have played, every single game they've played has been at noon, except for the 2 games on the road, 3:30, and then the Friday night game. Every other game, 12:30, 12:30, noon, they're playing Florida State at noon on Halloween as well. So for some odd reason, Syracuse is that morning-ish type game this year, which I don't think is helping with viewership, but and we can talk about that a little bit here. But Syracuse Pitt, Orange Creek Brewing Company, live pregame show before every Syracuse football game. And happy to be back here. We're going to be giving away 2 tickets to the game, at least 2 tickets to the game. So if you're listening in, you're in Central New York, come over to 721 South Krause Ave, and you have an opportunity to win at least a pair of tickets. We're also giving away, while supplies last, hot dogs, cookies, and donuts. And the donuts are Syracuse style. Orange and blue right over my shoulder here. So make sure you come out to Orange Crate Brewing Company, get yourself something to drink, plenty of food. I want to thank everybody that came out here to support it. And the girls over here in the corner, excited to have you come out and bleed orange with them. And for Rob and I, as we continue on here with Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live pregame show here in the heart of the Orange and Blue City, is to talk about Jordan Fredericks and what you think about where he's been, where he's going, what he's done. He obviously showed himself in front of the fans for Orange Fan Fest. He was the most productive running back for FanFest when it was Syracuse versus Syracuse. And you can say what you want to say, oh, it's not important, they're not trying to hurt each other, whatever. But he showed me some things in the way he ran. It's not about just looking at the tackles and the fact that they weren't playing a team other than themselves. It was the decision-making that he had on the field that stuck out to me. That decision-making continued on into the games this season. And I told you, the touchdown that he had when the defender came over his left shoulder and he lowered his shoulder to get away from one and then hooked in toward the end zone, and that last final hit, lowered his shoulder again, guy missed him, and he went in. Just little intricate things that he's doing to make sure that he's going to get every single yard he can. Is he deserving, after six games in your mind, from what you've seen, to be a true freshman starting running back for Syracuse?
I definitely think he's deserving of the opportunity. You know, he's done enough to put it up on his resume in his first few games here at Syracuse, you know, to be able to warrant the opportunity to be able to go out there and have this right now. I had a chance to meet the young man last week, away from football. And that's one thing I really base my observation off of athletes before, you know, for the simple fact that, you know, if you think about it, I've met thousands upon thousands of football players, and to me, a football player is a football player no matter the position they play. You know, it's meeting them off the field. I mean, a lot of people sit here and say, hey, you're meeting me for the first time. It's like, well, you're a humble player, you know, I'm not saying you're an easy person to talk to. And me sitting here talking to this young man, he was a humble, easy person. Easy person to talk to. And he's sitting here, there's no cameras around, there's no media around, there's no one here to basically tell us we're super athletes or great athletes. It was just one-on-one with these other people standing around. I got a chance to just sit there and talk to the young man. And what a very humble, down-to-earth, you know, and I don't mean it's in a bad way or anything, but he's a kid. You know, he's an 18-year-old kid, he's a running university, he's having a blast, he's doing something that he loves to do, you know, and that came out of him. And I had a chance to sit here and talk to Dungy and Arshenega also, and I said to myself, it's like, you know, outside of football, because a lot of times people put us on this pedestal, and I don't understand why they put us on this pedestal, because we're people too. You know what, we're human beings. We walk and breathe the same air you do, you know, we do the same things you do. We just happen to go out there and be able, with God-given ability, to play a sport that others really can't play, and we play it at a high level. But to sit there and talk to this young man, you know, and I said to myself, Syracuse is in great hands, because not only do they have very, very talented football players who believe in themselves, that are getting better and better each week, they have great gentlemen who are community-based and, you know, just basically sit there and don't walk around as if they have a chip on their shoulder, or walk around as if, you know, the world revolves around them. And that's how I base my assessment off of judging people. And I do that with athletes, and I do that with every average, ordinary person. You know, as long as you're humble, as long as you're kind, as long as you're No, I mean, I think you're going to be successful in life. And this young man has got a great opportunity. And judging from his character and the type of person he is, he's going to do well.
So you had an opportunity to talk with, away from the cameras, away from football, running back Jordan Fredericks. You also brought up defensive end Luke Arshenega and quarterback Eric Dungy. From the three of them, what can you say? I mean, I've gotten to meet them, talk with them. I was talking with Eric going through high school, Jordan going through high school, and Luke I've known for a long time here once he came in as a junior college transfer. So I know who these three guys are. I know who they are away from football when you have an opportunity to get to know them. What can you say about who they are to you, what your conversations were like with these three gentlemen, and what type of people they are on the Syracuse team and beyond that?
I mean, what shocked me was they actually knew who I was. You know, but more so than me. And I asked them how they know that. They're like, are you kidding me? It's like your picture and everything. All you do is still talk about you. You know, being a hometown person who's made it to the NFL. It's like, and they always say, it's like, you made it. I was like, what did I make? It's like, you actually did something that a lot of guys really don't do. You made it, you got drafted, and you played in the NFL. So, you know, it's, for me, it's just being humble is just something. It's my persona, it's my makeup, it's who I am. I don't think I consider myself better than anybody else. You know, I put my, you know, my pants on in the morning, one leg at a time, just like everybody else, except my son who jumps in both of them at the same time. Why, I don't know. You know, but it's just being respectful. And the one thing that I always get back, even when I came back to Syracuse after playing 15 years out in the pros and being able to come back and having a community still that embraced me when I was here to play football, still embraced me for the simple fact that I never thought I was better than anybody else. And just talking to these young men, I just got the attitude, got the sense, and I'm a very good judge of character, that these guys are just, you know, just in college at a point in their lives where they just want to have fun. They don't want to be these superstars. They don't want to go out there and think they're better than everybody else. They just want to be able to go out there, you know, win some games on the hill, win some games for the fan, go out there and just be the young athletes that they are. They're eventually going to grow up one day. We all have to grow up one day. But for right now, these guys are young athletes just doing the best they can. You know, they just want to be appreciated for who they are and not what they're doing. And that's the one thing I took from them. And that's the one thing I said Syracuse, or why I say Syracuse is in great hands, especially with Dungy and Fredericksburg in our back there in the backfield. Syracuse is going to have a joy and a great tandem for years to come, you know. And even with Ismail's esteem, you know, you got two sophomore receivers that are basically out there, you know, they have two more years left on top of this year. So Syracuse is going to be well off. And I hope, I mean, this may be going like a little far forward, but, you know, they give Coach Schaefer more time to be able to develop what he has, because what he has is something special. And I hope they don't get caught up with this deer in the headlight thing of, oh my gosh, they got three wins, now they have three losses, you know, and now they're losing, they didn't go to a bowl game. It's like, you know what, anything great takes time, you know. And he's doing something great right now. He's just not building, you know, great football players and a great program. He's building great men who are going to go out there and represent Syracuse University for years to come. Look at myself. Coach Mack did that also. Yes, it took him a while, but he, not only did he build a great program, he built great young men who basically come back and talk about Syracuse in a positive way. And that's the one thing Syracuse has to wait and give this man time with.
You talk about waiting and giving time here, talking with Syracuse alum, NFL and CFL alum as well, Robert Drummond. Myself, Dan Tortora, live wake-up call with Dan Tortora, pregame show, Syracuse Pit, here at Orange Crate Brewing Company for every Syracuse football game. We are here, home and away, we are here as well. The last two away games was actually out for a wedding for one of my buddies getting married, so he's out in Jamaica right now, living the tough life. So to Ross and Abigail, congratulations on your wedding. Thank you for letting me be in the party. He had me stand outside in 46 degree weather with no tuxedo jacket on, and he is now down in Jamaica. So I hope you're both enjoying yourselves. Hope you're having a great time, and thank you so much for everything. I also want to give a shout out too. He's over a month old now. You've talked about your son. I don't have children yet, but I want to give a shout out to my nephew, Eli, the better Eli is what I call him, and Eli is doing well, over a month old here, and I can't wait to go down and see him. I might have an opportunity in November to go hold him for the first time since I was in the hospital and didn't get to see him when he was born. So, little family love there, but to continue on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live from Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave. Eric Dungy had a play that made the SportsCenter top 10. He cleared a guy in the field, running, jumped over him like a gazelle, got smacked in the head right after. He's been hit in the head numerous times. The first game that he came in for Terrell Hunt, held on to the ball a little bit longer than some people would like, got popped, went down, jumped back up with his helmet, had a concussion shortly after that in another game. And as we move forward here, some people say he's still a little bit off, not 100% from where he was before the concussion. He gets hit after this other game. What do you like about Eric Dungy, and would you suggest that he continues to run with the ferocity that he has ran at this point?
I'd like for him to stop jumping, or his career won't be long. You know, but you know what? It's he plays with what we call back in the old days reckless abandon. You know, with no care for his body, just to be able to go out there and create plays and create havoc and just create a scenario of putting himself and making himself successful. You know, and that's the way I play. You can't worry about getting hurt. You can't worry about, you know, the intangibles. You know, all you can worry about is basically going out there and being successful for your team. You know, first downs, touchdowns. You know what? And that's the mindset you have to have as a football player, a successful football player. You start worrying about injuries, you start worrying about coaches telling you you can't jump and coaches telling you you can't do this and things of that nature, it takes out of your game. As long as you're not taking out of your element, as long as you're not taking out of your game, you'll be successful. Once they start limiting this young man, you know, he's going to start thinking about those things way too much, and the game's going to go away from him. As long as he's allowed to be able to go out here and be the athlete he is and be the player he is, Dungy's upside is huge. And I remember talking to you about it, seeing this young man in high school. I always thought that, wow, this young man could come in. I didn't think it would happen, but compete with Terrell Hunt for the starting job just because his athleticism was wrong. But then they come in to find out that, you know, he was a student of the game. You know, he absorbed the playbook. You know, to see how tall he was, I didn't think he was that tall when I first saw him. And I was like, you know, wow, he's got himself a diamond in the rough. And I think this man, along with Preston in the backfield, could carry us into the future for years to come.
when you see him go through this, I mean, he's an athlete. He wants to score. He did it in high school. He jumped players in high school. Schaefer said in the last game, I told him not to do this. He didn't listen to me. It was a hell of a play. If he doesn't get hit at the end of the play, I don't think anybody worries. However, there are a lot of players across the country that are putting a lick on this guy, kind of welcoming him into college football. And what Mitch did before that against Central Michigan wasn't a warm welcoming, was a targeting play where he went right after his head. But for a quarterback like Eric Dungy to do what he's doing, to run the triple option as well as he's running it, can you take that out of him? Can you make him not jump over players and not do certain things? Because him holding on to the ball and some of the pops he's taken have led to huge drives for Syracuse, and he seems concerned with getting a 20-yard touchdown more than he is of his own body. It can be a good thing. It can also be a not-so-good thing. How do you look at him moving forward? What advice would you give to him moving forward, knowing that the way that he plays the game keeps Syracuse in games, but the way that he plays the game could also prevent him from being in every game? So how do you advise him moving forward?
You know, just to keep evolving, and the simple fact of, you know, don't let anyone ever restrain you or contain you from being the athlete that you are. The young man's an athlete, a very, very talented athlete. You know, and to sit here and give him, you know, restrictions on basically how it is for him to play is going to restrict him in being the athlete that he is. You know, let him go out there, and he's got to learn, you know, learn by trial and error. You know, go out there. I myself was a freshman, played as a freshman. I was a physical runner, a powerful runner, until I had a few concussions here and there, and then I was like, said to myself, it's like, you know, it's not going to take away from my game and who I am. So he'll get through this year. He'll understand what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are, and he'll work on his strengths and weaknesses in the offseason. But it'll make him that much of a better player because he plays with reckless abandon right now. And I love players that play with reckless abandon because you don't know what you're going to get. Yes, they're very, very talented. Yes, they're very athletic. Are they going to make some mistakes sometimes? Of course. But they're going to make more great plays than they are mistakes, you know, and I can live with that.
And as you move forward, living with that, as we look at the rest of the guys that are out there, Irv Phillips, Grizzly Esteem, Steve Ishmael, at this point in the season, with Irv playing H-back, with Brisley wide receiver, and on the other side of him, Steve Ishmael, is this the best, throwing the H-back in it, throwing Irv in it, is this the best receiving core that you've seen Syracuse have since Paul Pasqualoni? Would it be safe to say this is the best at this point?
This is the most talented, most athletic receiving core I've seen Syracuse have in a long time. You know, and them being as young as they are bodes very, very well, I said, for the future. But the simple fact is we have a true freshman, a running back, and a quarterback. You know, two sophomores and wide receivers. So the simple fact that these guys can go out there and be as athletic and as talented as they are, you know, granted, albeit making a few mistakes here and there, but we can live with that. You know, the simple fact is one of these games, they're going to have their breakout game. You know, I would have hoped and wished it was that LSU game, but one of these games, you're going to have a breakout game. It's going to be against a team that's basically on the map already. I'm not going to make a prediction. I'm not going to sit here and say, but Syracuse is due for a breakout game. I said to myself, right now, a lot of the ball's not bouncing in their way a lot of the time, and it's frustrating, but you know what? Eventually, that ball's going to bounce your way. And you're going to start to make plays in the game you should have won that you've been losing now. You're going to start winning. And when that starts happening, I hope they're ready because this young team is going to go a long way.
That's what I want to see. And you bring that up, and Syracuse is due for one of those big wins. I just saw it here watching the television here at Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Cross Ave, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live 3 hours before every Syracuse home game. We're going to try and come out here for some away games for you as well. And to give you our analysis, we're doing Syracuse Pitt for homecoming this time around. When you look at what I saw on the screen, Florida State's rest of their schedule, their percentage that they'll win the game. 94% say that Florida State's going to kill Syracuse. The only one that's higher than that is Chattanooga, 98%. What has Syracuse done under Scott Schaefer against LSU in the past few seasons that make you think that those 94% are going to eventually go down? Because that's the question that I always get asked. Dan, I know we're not going to beat Florida State and Clemson this year, but when's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? How do you kind of assess seeing that Syracuse is right there with Chattanooga as what's considered the worst of the worst against the best of the best?
I mean, I really don't care about a bunch of people who know nothing about football, never played before, putting up percentages and sitting there telling me this team's going to win or that team's going to win. You know, honestly, get on the football field and tell me that. If that was the truth, why would the game even play? Or why would you even play the game? No, for the simple fact, you have to stand up each and every Saturday or each and every Sunday, whether it be in the NFL, and play the football game. That's why the game is played. Because on any given Sunday or any given Saturday, any team can win. Look at Michigan State last week. You know, it just takes the pageantry out of the game when you sit there and put these percentages up. Because those percentages mean absolutely nothing. You know, Florida State game is down the road right now. Yes, it is. But you know, when that game comes up, we'll worry about that game then. But right now, we have Pittsburgh in hand, and that's the game we want to talk about. And the same about that Florida State game. That 94% means absolutely nothing because the game's going to be played. And any given Saturday, anybody can win. So I'll put my money on Syracuse.
And when we look at this Syracuse-Pittsburgh game, a couple interesting things that are going on. Their starting running back with James Conner out for the season is Kadri Allison. Kadri Allison was recruited by Syracuse, starting running back playing well for Pittsburgh. On top of that, Dontez Ford was a safety for Syracuse, didn't like the fact that he was moved from wide receiver, which he was brought in for, to DB, decided to transfer, and now he's one of the top three wide receivers for Pitt. So when you look at those games, you look at those situations, you played for the Eagles and the Cowboys, when they switch players back and forth, it always seems to get ugly and somebody seems to get someone's number. But knowing that Pitt has Dontez Ford at wide receiver and Kadri Allison as running back, knowing those Syracuse connections and recruiting to those two guys, what does that do for this game? Does it bring more to the game knowing that it was what could have been standing on the other side of your defense today?
As players and coaches, you don't worry about that. You worry about the guys, your family that are around you, the guys that you're going to battle with, the guys that sit there and who suffer through you through training camp, you know, through tour days, you know, through the meetings, through practices. So all Syracuse can worry about is the guys that are on their roster and that they're playing with right now. They can't worry about what could have been or what should have been or, you know, things of that nature. I'm pretty sure, though, that it was great that they had young players here for the first time. Those guys are doing well and everything, and they wished them well. They wished them well tomorrow, not today. But, you know, you don't worry about a guy who's not in your program anymore. All you do is concentrate and focus on your family and the guys that you're playing with right now.
And when you focus on the guys that you're playing with right now, you and I have been a proponent for local recruiting by Syracuse. Now, granted, Grizzly Esteem, Steve Ishmael, down south guys. Irv Phillips, he's a Northeast guy, Northeast football. Doug Marone talked about it. Scott Schaefer's willing to go anywhere that he needs to go to get the players that he wants to get. Eric Dungy was from Oregon. And the question got asked, why Eric Dungy, why Oregon? How'd you find out about him? And Tim Lester and I had talked about it 6 months before the question was asked by the media in a press conference. And the reason why he went out to Oregon is because he got tipped off to who Eric Dungy was. He watched film, and he said, screw it if he's not from Syracuse, if he's not from the East Coast. If I got to go over to the West Coast to get this kid, I'm going to make a play for him. He thought Oregon might do something. Oregon had him in a camp a while back, didn't do anything. Oregon State, little feeler out there. But he said to him that he could have an opportunity to come to Syracuse. He saw something in him, and just like anybody else said, you're going to have to compete for the job. His recruitment was huge for Syracuse, but the local side of it, coming back full circle from where I started, is to recruit locally. And Nick Robinson is a local guy starting. Seamus Shanley was starting on the line with Nick as a local kid. Riley Dixon, who has become the most famous Syracuse player as of right now, is another guy from Central New York. How important is that? Because I talked to Riley about it. I talked to Nick about it. How important is it for you moving forward for a guy like Scott Schaefer to not just have a good team but to keep his job in the city? Do you have to reach out local? And you know the local talent, so what can you say about it?
I mean, I think local athletes, you know, have a era about them for the simple fact that, you know, we've grown up watching Syracuse football our entire lives. Now, nothing gets an athletes out of town that come in to do well here at Syracuse. It's great for them. It's great to be in a program that's doing well and turn this program around. But I mean, I know me personally, when I came to Syracuse, it wasn't the simple fact that I was just playing Division I college football for myself. I was playing for my family. I was playing for a community. I was playing for a city that embraced me and allowed me to be able to go out here and play a game that I love and do it at a high level. So when you get a local athlete in here, it's just that not someone who's going to go out there and fill the Carrier Dome with stands, you know, or fans, and fill the Carrier Dome with people who are going to watch the game and someone to root for it. You get somebody with a sense of, you know, heritage, history, you know, family, you know, place of being, and it's just like I can sit here and say to myself personally, it's like when I was in the mirror, I actually was a part of building the Carrier Dome, and not only was I a part of building the Carrier Dome, this is my hometown. It's where I was born and where I was raised and grew up. So it's a different feeling from a hometown kid to come to Syracuse and play with heart, and play with conviction, to play with the desire, and play with pride. And one thing local kids really take away from here once they graduate from Syracuse and go play that last game and they walk you out on that field was that, you know what, I did something important, I did something special, I did something for not just for myself, but I came to a place where I was born, grew up, you know, and put my stamp on an organization or a program that will go on in infamy. It's like I said, when I come back here and I was shocked those kids knew where I was, they knew who I was because not only was I a Syracuse University, as some people say, star, I was a Syracuse University football player who not only just starred here at Syracuse, but it was his hometown.
And as far as the talent that you see in this city, Dante Turo is one guy from Mexico that you brought up to me before the season started. Very unfortunate that in this day and age, if you thank God for anything, it's offensive. Yet if you go out and I know this, you know, being in the media, I'm one of the rare media breeds that tells the truth and is honest. But a lot of people I'm surrounded by lie, cheat, steal, twist stories, do all kinds of crazy things, don't care how many bridges they burn, set Syracuse on fire. Yet a guy that says, thank you, God, is the one that gets in trouble. So I want to address what you think about that penalty for Turo thanking God. And for Turo and the rest of the guys, who are some of the athletes out here that you really think Syracuse should be taking a look at?
You know, it starts from the top, bottom. By the top, I mean, it started with the NFL. The NFL, when you celebrated, you pointed to the sky, you did living there, those stupid, you know, they flew a flag and they find those guys. Then it went to college. Now it's in high school. It's getting ridiculous. I mean, the foothold of these organizations, whether it be the NCAA, or whether it be for pro football, you know, the owners, or whether it be, you know, high school football, you know, the sections that run it, you know, they're just getting too much control over these athletes. Let these kids go out there and have play. If God wants to, you know, worship God and believe himself and point this guy, let him point. How's it hurting the game? How's it taunting anybody? As a former player, I know what he was doing. He wasn't taunting the other guys. He's either thanking a family member who's probably passed away, or he's either thanking God for giving him the ability, a chance to do what he wanted to do. I mean, just these organizations they're doing things that really take away from the game that I truly love. For the simple fact, it's turning me off to the game. It's turning me off to the game a lot. You know, I think Dante Turo, even doing the one rap test where I scored him out. I didn't test him, but I used the numbers from the test he did before. And he scored off the charts. And we talked about that before the season even started. I was telling you about this one guy because we had no idea who he was. So it doesn't surprise me he is as athletic as he is. You know, but watching film on him, and you really don't have enough film in him to watch it. I'm not sure if he's a Division I athlete, but I know he's athletic. He's very super athletic. I'd say Division I AA, Division II right now. But you know what? He can always get better because he's only a junior. You know, and besides, he's 6'1", about 190 pounds. So if you watch this tape, the kid's very, very athletic. But you know what? Going forward, there are a lot of young athletes here in Syracuse that Syracuse University should look at. For the simple fact that, yes, you may not recruit them, but you know what? If I see a sophomore, a freshman, a sophomore, a junior out there, and all they need to hear is that Syracuse showed interest in them. How much harder do you think that kid's going to work in school? How much harder do you think that kid's going to work in getting himself and preparing his body to be able to go out there and be the best athlete you can? When people notice you, it's when people start to turn their lives around and do things better. So all Schaefer and his staff has to do is show interest in these kids. You know, just show up to one game or just send a letter. In this day and age of social media and email, all they can say is, like, I thought you were a very, very young, talented young man, so Syracuse has their eye on you. All he needs to hear is they had their eye on him. All of a sudden, this one so average kid is going to turn his life around and turn his athleticism around because he's going to go out there and try now and get that much effort. And that's the thing you need to get back to when you do this.
Before we finish up, Syracuse, Pittsburgh pregame show live from Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Cross Ave.
We're going to be here going in toward the game, so when we go off the air, we will still be here giving away two tickets to the game today. If you don't have tickets to the game, we are giving away a pair of tickets, but you have to be here to register. And we also have Wild Supplies Labs. We have hot dogs, cookies, and donuts going on here, and some type of an interesting game of Pong with the basket Pong that we have going on in the corner here. So some games to be played here and a lot of fun, and I appreciate Orange Crate Brewing Company for everything they've been doing. Before we go, last thing from you and I, Rob. What is the best thing Syracuse is doing right now going into Pitt's game, and what is the worst thing that Syracuse is doing right now going into this homecoming game, best and worst?
I'll start with the worst. The worst thing they're doing is having this damn 12 noon game. It's too early. They need to have it later, like when we played. Back when I played, it was either 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or 7 o'clock. I don't care. Just have it later, especially in homecoming. But, you know, I think the best thing that they're doing right now is just not listening to guys like us now, you know, the media. You know, just basically, what you have to understand is, like, you have a bunch of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids up there. They're kids. You know, they're just removed from high school. It's like, you know, being a parent myself, you know, I know what I would tell my son. It's like, you know what? Everyone's not going to be in your corner. You know, when you're doing well, yay, they cheer for you. When you're doing bad, boo, they boo you. You know what? No one wants to be booed. It hurts. You know, these kids are doing the best job they can. You think they're going out there trying to make a mistake? No, they're not. They're doing the best job they can. They're trying to correct their mistakes. They're learning. It's a learning process. Life's a learning process. You know what? So I give all these young men credit, all these young men the fortitude to be able to go out there week in and week out to just show up for the game and do the best they can. I give, as long as you go out there, you do the best you can. And you know what? I'm okay with that. You're going to make mistakes sometimes. You're not going to win all the time. My second year at Syracuse, you know what? What do we? We started off 0-4. We were horrible. But you know what? The following year, we went undefeated. We were 11-0. So we didn't give up. Never give up on yourself. And I would say that to the athletes up there. And I would say that to anybody. As long as you believe in yourself, as long as you go up here and try, as long as you put forth the effort, you know what? You can get greatness out of that. You know, greatness is decided in the effort you give.
That coming from Syracuse alum Rob Drummond. For my side of it, the best thing Syracuse is doing right now going into their game against Pitt, worst thing that they're doing, I'll start with the worst as well. The worst thing that Syracuse is doing going up against Pitt right now is the secondary. It's something that has made me concerned in the 21st century. So on the field, I will say that secondary has to get better. I know all the guys on the secondary, Chauncey, from Chauncey to Corey to Antoine Cordy to Julian Wiggum, all good guys, stand-up gentlemen. Want to see a little bit more out of them, so I'm commanding them to go a little bit higher, which I know that they can do. The best thing Syracuse is doing right now is twofold. The triple option, because Eric Dungy knows how to run it. I'm thanking the Lord and pointing my finger to the sky, so find me if you want to, but I'm thanking God that the option is back in Syracuse. Hasn't been here since McNabb. So happy to see the option. Happy with what Dungy's doing and Jordan Fredericks. All the guys, how the offense is going. The other thing that I think Syracuse is doing the best, Syracuse has the best punter in the country. No other punter can throw, run, and punt like this guy does. He better get a job in the NFL. Riley Dixon, who is a local kid from Christian Brothers Academy. So those are the best and the worst. And then off the field, the worst thing Syracuse is doing, nothing, because they're shutting out the haters. The best thing they're doing is shutting out the haters. Really quick here, Rob, as we have under a minute to go, is Scott Schaefer right now in this moment, would you give Scott the keys to this team still if you had a decision today? Would you let him take over this team today if he didn't already have it?
With the athletes he's brought in and with the program he's developed and with that, you know, the system that he's implemented, yes, I would. You know, you have to give him more time. You can't base everything off 1 year. As I said before, you have a freshman quarterback and a freshman running back that are starting. Give this man time. I mean, if they'd closed it in on Coach Mack after my first year into the bowl game, in my second year, if they'd closed it in on Mack, we wouldn't have had a great run. We wouldn't have had a great season we had. So give Coach Schaefer at least two or three more years to be able to go out there and take these athletes and turn this program around.
And I agree with that. It will be 2017 before Scott Schaefer has an entire team that he recruited himself. And I don't believe you can, if there's immorality or something of that going on, or kids aren't going to class, not taking tests, if there's something that's against the rules, you get rid of a coach before the statement I'm about to make. But if you have a coach that's following the rules, that has morals, that has values, that is a leader, you keep him until he has an entire team he recruited, and then you make a decision on that. So I agree. Two more seasons at least with Scott Schaefer. And for everybody that doesn't like Scott Schaefer, look at every recruit that's come in. Look at 2014's class, what they've done with Irv Phillips and company. Look at 2015 with Dungy and Fredericks. Look at who they've already brought in for 2016. Look at the kid who's transferring from UCLA, Chris Clark at tight end. None of this happens without Scott Schaefer. This is Wake Up Call with Dan Satora live at Orange Crate Brewing Company. Come out and see us. God bless. Be well. 721 South Cross Ave.
Hey, this is Dan Tortora of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, here to tell you that the Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue, down the road from the Carrier Dome, is your home for all pregame, postgame, and during the game excitement in Central New York. Make sure you come out for my live Syracuse pregame shows before Syracuse football and Syracuse men's basketball home and away games. We'll have a live pregame show for you there with me, Dan Tortora, and special guests throughout the season. Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, your local Central New York hotspot for all of your bar needs, as well as great food, great atmosphere, and a great time with the Central New York community. Right down the road from the Carrier Dome, be a part of game day at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York.